The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Beth Moore encourages us to have faith, even with all the drama.
It's going to be a story with considerable drama. Now, what I want you to know is you've already got you some drama. Nobody needs to think, you know what, this is why I'm scared to sign up for this God thing. I'm afraid all sorts of wild things are happening. Let me tell you something. You already got wild things happening. I mean, you just, if you're getting out at all.
A story fit for a song, next on Life Today.
I could not welcome Beth Moore and welcome you if I didn't have a big smile on my face. Beth puts a smile on my face. Her energy, her love for God. You know, we're going to be spending an awful lot of time in the next weeks and months talking about God's kingdom agenda, really the basics of life. And Beth just helps us on that journey. And she's going to talk about a story that's fit for a song. And that story could be your life. It's I hope not a country, you know, Western song where you get all these crummy lyrics talking about crummy things in life. But you know what? The crummy things in our lives, God can turn into a song. And I think Beth's going to make that real clear. Here's Beth Moore. Wednesdays with Beth. Enjoy.
If you've got a Bible handy, I want you to grab it. Those of you that I can see, many of you do have your Bibles with you, so turn with me to Judges, the book of Judges, chapters 4 and 5. And let me tell you a few things as you're turning that direction. Listen, if you don't have time to grab your Bible, I'm going to read to you what you need to know. I pray that you're still going to hear it. But if you do have a chance to grab it where you could just make some notes around it, that would be even better. I want you all to know that we have a couple of very unique chapters that we're turning to. There probably is only one, maybe two in a stretch, other times in Scripture where we would find a pairing like this. You'd find one in Exodus, you'd find one in Deuteronomy that is similar, but this one is so forthright that I want us to camp on it. And let me tell you a little bit about it before we start taking it apart. Chapter 4 is the story. Chapter 5 is the song based on the story. If you've got captions over the tops of your chapters or your segments in Scripture, you're going to see that we are going to study a little bit about the life of a woman named Deborah. She's not the only one. There are many others that will come into play around her. But I want you to know, until very, very recently, as I was preparing this material, that after 25 years of teaching and speaking, I have not touched this woman with a 100-foot pole. And I'll get to why as we go through the lesson. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to stick around. I want you guys to also stick around, because you may think at the very beginning, well, if it's going to be something about a woman, I'm not interested in it. Listen, this one is so intriguing and involves so many different people. This is not a gender thing at all and has a lot of turns to it that you may not be expecting. So she was really new to me. I had taught about it in Sunday school lightly a number of years ago, but I just have never camped on it for anything like this until just very recently, and I can't wait to tell you why. So why don't you just look at it for just a moment. Take a glance through it. If you can grab your Bibles, I'm going to describe it to you if you can't. You'll see. Take a look at what 5 looks like, chapter 5. You can see that it's written in a poetic form. You're going to glance back at 4, and you're going to see that it is the actual account of the events that happen. And so here's what I'm pitching out to you. What would it take for a life to be something worth singing about? That's the question on the table for our present series. A story that is fit for a song. That's what we're going to be discussing. Living the kind of life with your God, who is mighty beyond anything we could imagine, could do more than we could ever ask or think, to live such a life with Him that there could be a song written about it somebody could sing. Every single one of us, we're going to find out in the weeks to come, every single one of us could live that kind of life. You're not, because you're not in any area of a vocation, or you feel like you're not in any kind, making any kind of important contribution, you may think wherever you are that it's only for the other people, they get to live that kind of life. I want you to understand that every single one of us who are willing to jump on this adventure train with our God can live a life that could be fit for a song. And that's exactly where this is going. I want you to just look ahead. We're really going to camp, first of all, on Judges chapter 4. But I want you to look ahead just enough at Judges 5:3 to get a little bit of the flavor of it, because she says, it's the song of Deborah and Barak. And it says in verse 3, "Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing. I will make music to the Lord, to the God of Israel." And then she goes about singing the song of the victory against every single odd. Before we begin to look back at chapter 4, I want to begin to give you, I'm going to go ahead and give you one as we're thinking. What does it take to live a life that becomes a story somebody could sing about? A story fit for a song that every single one of us could live. That's the question on the table. And we're going to have a number of things through the course of the series together, eight in total over the two-part series. And the first one is this, and I want to do it before we even begin reading, because I want you to get this into place as part of our foundation. Number one, if we're going to have a story, a personal life story, because every single one of our lives is a story, and if we're going to have a story that is fit for a song, number one, we got to go ahead and accept from the very top, it's going to be a story with considerable drama. It's going to be a story with considerable drama. Now, what I want you to know is you've already got you some drama. Nobody needs to think, you know what, this is why I'm scared to sign up for this God thing. I'm afraid all sorts of wild things are happening. Let me tell you something. You already got wild things happening. I mean, you just, if you're getting out at all, if you like get in your car and go to work, if you're from a city like I'm from, in a city where Life Outreach lives, let me tell you, you're taking your life in your adventurous hands every single time you get in your vehicle. Would somebody say amen to that? I mean, you can go to the post box and you could get into some drama. If you have a teenager, you already have all the drama you can stand. If you go to a church, if you have a marriage, if you even have a boyfriend, if you have a girlfriend, you got you some drama. Life has a whole lot of drama. It's whether or not that drama is going to turn into a God adventure, something divine, some kind of story that could turn into a song. That's the difference it makes. And that's an opportunity every single one of us have, a story with considerable drama, with nail-biting, with crises of faith, with joys and sorrows, opportunities that will come to say, will God come through for me this time or not? I got to tell you something. I want to give you a little personal background. I always want to come to you with my own present season. That's what I try to teach out of, and that's the most authentic thing that I have to offer you. At the Moore home, we're still living real life. Keith and I are crazy about one another, and we still fight sometimes like cats and dogs, and I still cry and get my feelings hurt and get mad about things and wonder about things and have doubts about things, and I'm still just out there living real life, wondering what's going to happen next, just like you are. So don't think of any of your teachers and anybody in leadership around you as having somehow disconnected from the reality of living, because it's just not so. They may not be telling you, but listen, we got real lives going here, and they're not always pleasant, and they very often give us a lot of opportunity for fear. And God has had me back recently through some personal circumstances to that wonderful scripture. I'm not going to turn you to it because I'm going to tell it to you, out of Hebrews 11, verse 6, that says this, and I want this to just penetrate. I'm hoping somebody's on the other side of that screen that's never even heard this verse before. This is where I'd love for it to start with somebody. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Listen to that again. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now listen, because this is going to be a revelation to somebody. Your faith is more important to Him than even your acts of righteousness. I promise you that. You can look all over the scriptures and it will tell you that it is our faith that is credited as righteousness. And you may say to me, are you telling me it does not matter how I live? I would never tell you that. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to go from the pit to some steady living, to some victorious living outside the ditch, it's not going to be just getting in your head that you're going to do certain actions. It will be that you have believed God about your being a different kind of person than you used to think you are. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It will be, if we ever become people who used to live in defeat and now we live in victory, it will not be because we just started acting a certain way. Your actions cannot maintain that kind of victory. You'll fall back into the old habit. It will be because our belief system changed. It will be as a direct result of our faith. It will happen every single time. So to believe God, when I believe God about who He says He is, and then I believe God about who He says I am, that's when I begin living differently. That's when my decisions change because my whole thought process has changed. And God's Word says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So you know what that means? And this was, like, I've seen that verse 1,000 times. I don't know how many years ago I memorized that verse. And yet God has pulled it out of that mental Rolodex and put it right on the front again. You know why? Because I found myself in a place once more where I was going to have to believe Him past what I could presently see. That in my mind, I had an impossibility in front of me. And I was going to have to believe God more than I believed what I was laying my eyes on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Back there again. This is where it tells you, and I was telling this to my staff here recently, that in case we think it's ever going to just smooth out, anybody just hope that you're getting there, that you thought, okay, well, when we finally get engaged, I'm telling you, we are going to just be on with it. And then, when I get married, what I need is I need a new job, and I need the right church. There's always something that we're adding to it, wonderful things. But when we get that, this is going to just smooth right on out. I remember how surprised I was when my oldest daughter and her husband had regular problems like regular people in their very good and solid marriage. But I thought, Keith and I come from such a terrible background that I thought that honestly people only had problems because they came out of sin. I was just sure of it. I was sure of it. I'm here to tell you that no matter what, even if you're living victoriously, you're still going to have a life that is full of ups and downs. It's going to have some valleys in it. It's going to have some very rocky places in it because the whole point of us remaining here after He saves us through faith in Jesus Christ is to continue to believe Him every day of our lives until He fulfills His good purpose in us and brings glory to Himself. It will always be about faith. It's what it's going to come back to. If anybody's thinking that's listening today, you know, this is exactly where He's had me again. I mean, I went through that like years ago. I really went on a fresh faith walk and I find myself in that situation again. What is wrong with me that I'm back to the elementary things of the faith? Let me tell you, we will always come back to faith. He'll do many other things in our lives, but He'll always bring us back to, do you believe me more than you believe what you see? More than you believe what you hear out there amid all of those voices. So God had me back memorizing these scriptures. There were a couple out of Romans 4, 20 and 21, and I just want to remind you of them. You can either turn with me, but stay right here, hold something into Judges chapters 4 and 5. But listen to these words, and I want to tell you a little bit about the way I love to memorize. It says in Romans 4, 20 and 21, yet, it's speaking of Abraham, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what He had promised. And then this is 22 that I just told you about. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed God. Now listen, when I memorize a scripture, I'm not just memorizing in order to have a lot of verses stacked in my head. I'm wanting them to change my life. Does anybody know what I'm saying to them? I want them to change the way I think today. I want them to change my defeat into victory. I want them to make me respond differently in a challenge and even more so in a crisis. I want to be different because of them. So because the Lord really laid on my heart to memorize those two scriptures, I memorized them with a she instead of a he. Yet she did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in her faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he had the power to do. So Keith and I were at some land that we have out in on the edge of the hill country, and it's really rocky land where you have to have one hand on a shotgun and the other hand you can put in the air. But I had my just in case you run up on a rattlesnake or something of that nature. And so I was walking along, and I had my spirals with my scriptures on it in my left hand, and I was saying my verses to God. And when I kept saying, this one was a new one to me. So when I kept saying over and over, yet, and I kept emphasizing that word, yet she did not waver. Yet, and I realized that even the word yet being there in the scripture says that there are odds stacked against it. You'll never have a faith walk that you don't have an invitation to disbelieve God. It can't happen. With every opportunity to believe God, you have got an invitation to disbelieve Him. Is that making sense to anyone? So if we're thinking we're going to have a faith walk without having a wonderful invitation to doubt and fear and disbelief, we've misunderstood our scriptures. Because that means that if without faith it is impossible to please God, that I am going to live a lifetime of yets. In other words, this was the current status, yet she did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God. There'll be a yet every single time that says something has got to happen against every odd. It's got to appear as if this one is not going to come through. That's exactly when you have an opportunity to have a story that turns itself right into a song.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Well, I think she gets through. And you know, you look at your own situation, it's pretty easy sometimes to think, well, hopeless? No. I really do want you to understand the blessed hope is not just the return of Christ. I mean, I know things can get so desperate for any of us that we just pray, dear Jesus, come and get us out of this mess. But I really want you to understand that God can turn your mess into a beautiful song, a melody. I also want you to understand that when Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, right now, on earth. Not thy will be done in heaven, thy will be done on earth, because his kingdom is here. The very fact is that God's rule and God's reign and us reigning with Him on earth doesn't mean the elimination of challenges and problems. It just means that He can lift us above, out of the valley, or give us peace in the valley, or we're able to climb every mountain because He's bigger than every mountain. You really can find that out. And here's the good news. If you'll say, I want to know that so I can be a bearer of good news to others, that's kingdom life. Let me just show you how you can express in the most direct, effective way possible, kingdom life, the love of God. And you can turn someone else's misery, their horror story, into a beautiful song. You can do that for someone. Like you wish someone might do something like that for you. Here's your chance. Watch closely.
You know, the old lady, they feed the small girl for the help sick with the foreigner. They pay money a lot for the, they need for the steel virgin.
Human traffickers target innocent children who then become enslaved in a multi-billion dollar a year industry called the sex slave trade.
So imagine this, one girl taken from her family, whether she's kidnapped or tricked, but she is sexually abused over and over again, maybe 8 to 10 customers that she may have to service in one day.
We're fighting for children that can't fight for themselves, children that would be otherwise used in the sex trade or be bought and sold like animals for monetary gain. It's not right.
It's kids just like these that right now they're begging, but they are also bait for predators. If we don't get them off the street, they will be the next trafficked victims.
And when these children become enslaved and don't comply, horrible things are done to them by the human traffickers.
When I was a child, I seen a lot of things in front of my eyes.
They are cages somewhere like that. They are keeping a child as an animal. Just tied the hand, both hand like that, and that customer will be have a sex with that child.
It is tragic what's happening to children, innocent children, and it's not right. Our hearts are burdened by all the children that are crying out for help today, this moment, that need intervention, that need help, that are waiting for someone to hear their cries. And we can only do it with your help.
Well, I thank God for his heart expressed through Carol Hart and her husband, Michael, and the other missionaries, the missionary you saw writing and telling what's happening. Those precious people are in place because God put it on their heart to reach out and put arms of love around those who were held captive in this horrible sex trade. And you've enabled them to be effective. You've enabled them to be able to rescue the children that they went over to find. Two of the children you saw there, the little boy and girl with Carol, those two children were orphaned and they now live in the House of Destiny, in the Life Center. And so, by the way, this is what kingdom life does. We are no longer orphaned. God adopts us as sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. And we can give those children that relationship with a family that loves them. Let me just tell you pointedly, and by the way, you're the ones, you viewers, I don't care where you are in the world, whether it's Australia or the United Kingdom or Canada or the U.S., it doesn't matter. You told us that you wanted to rescue those children, and you let us know we're going to help you do it. It takes $128 to rescue one of the children. That's the cost for taking care of them, to get them either before they get them into the trade or get them out, or find them when they're wandering the streets and literally adopt them into the arms of God. And the just think about it. It's $128 to rescue a child, $1,280. And I don't just throw that out at random. I think about 10 children, and some of you could do that. You could say, I'll take 10 children. There are some who have been blessed where you say, James, God's been so good to me. I could give several thousand dollars to help. Well, please do that, but please keep this in mind. For every one of those precious children, just like the two with Carol, someone said, I've got $128. Another, I've got $128. Whatever it takes, we're going to do it. Whatever you can give, we can put gifts together and rescue a child. But I'm asking you right now, and I can't help but believe you care. So see, the real care, the real love of God, the real center of our life, Jesus, that care inspires a desire to share, to release the love. Not just talk about it. Not just defend the fact God loves us. Demonstrate the love of God. Would you dial the number? Would you take your bank card, use it like a check, or you can go online, lifetoday.org. Many of you can do that. Make that gift God's put on your heart. If you can give the $128 or $1,280, please do that. Give the very best gift you can because we're going to give those children a chance. We're going to literally rescue lives together. It takes all of us working together. If you should get a busy, be persistent. Dial until you get through, just as though I'm the one getting the life preserver, getting the life to that child. I'm going to be determined to do it, as determined as you would want someone to be to rescue you or one of your loved ones. Would you do it right now? Make that call. If you make a check, make it to Life, put it in the mail, and please do that today. Thank you. We have some special gifts for you to bless you, to say thank you for sharing an opportunity with those precious little ones.
Human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your support of Mission Rescue Life, you can help rescue more than 5,000 children from the horrors of the sex trade in parts of Thailand, India, Cambodia, and other targeted nations. Together, we can reach vulnerable families and children by providing much-needed food and relief. we can rescue those already ensnared by offering them a way out, and we can restore their hearts, minds, and bodies to enable them to enjoy life as God intended. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of this lifestyle. As our way of saying thank you, please request The Butterfly Effect, How Your Life Matters. The story of this book reveals how you were specially created by God to make a difference and have the power to change the world. As a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,280 to help rescue 10 children. With your gift, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture that demonstrates God's fatherly love for us as His children. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
Keith and I have loved every single minute that we've gotten to partner with James and Betty in the outreaches of life. We've been part of the mission feeding program, the shelter, and the water wells. We've loved every single effort put forth by this outreach ministry. But we are particularly excited about the opportunity we have called Rescue Life. This one is specifically for children that have been taken into sex trafficking. I cannot think of anything that cries out for our help more than this. Would you partner with us as we reach out to them and literally rescue lives through Rescue Life? This one is something that calls to the innermost part of our hearts and cries out to such victimization that we've got to help. Partnering together, there is no telling what God could do. Let's do everything we can to rescue life. Thank you so much.
I do want to remind you that we're sending the Butterfly Effect. I think you are familiar with the significance of one. We've tried to make that very, very clear. A butterfly, motion of the wings, can, scientific fact, start a hurricane. Think what God's love through you can do. You and I have an opportunity to show people the Father's heart. The heart of a father, the love of God. We're sending this beautiful bronze to those of you who will help us rescue the lives of 10 children. If you can do it, please do. But remember, whatever the gift God puts on your heart, it's helping us share the greatest gift, the love and life of God. Thank you. Tell your friends about Beth on Wednesdays and encourage your friends to watch Life Today. We're going to be talking about the basics of life and how we fulfill God's kingdom agenda right now on earth.
So many people are caught up in this manner of thinking that is so convoluted.
The keys to true kingdom living tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.